presence here this morning. Lord, we glorify you. We lift your name up. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we worship you. Your presence is so sweet. God, we just bask in that presence. Lord, we ask that you would set us free. Lord, of the worry, the concerns, Lord, the things that hold us so tight, the things that keep us from you. Lord, the things that we gravitate to. Lord, the things that are so opposite of you. Lord, we want your character. We want your appearance in our eyes and our soul. God, we thank you that you are with us. Lord, that you promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. That you would be with us till the end of the age. You are with us. You are Emmanuel. Thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for your presence in our hearts. You are with us, Lord, not just in this building, not just among your people as you promised, but you are in me, you are in us, you are in each of us individually. You go with us. Lord, you're not just in this building, you are in us, you're in our cars, you're in our houses, you're in our workplaces, you're in our homes, you're in our schools. Lord, you're in the places where evil dwells. You are with us. Lord, we magnify you. You are worthy to be praised. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Yeah, I can move these a little closer. All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to the church at Whistling Pines. Excuse me, I need to blow out the candles. I didn't even make a wish. It's okay, though. If you were here last week, we started a new series called Hello, My Name is Jesus. I'm not saying I'm Jesus. Hello, My Name is Jesus. And in lieu of a traditional Christmas series, what we're doing for 4 weeks, this is week two, is we are interviewing four different individuals. And last week we interviewed Heather Almaty. And this week we're interviewing Obed Acevedo, if Obed can come on up. And what we're doing is we're talking about four different names of Jesus. And we're talking about different attributes of Jesus and what the character of Jesus is associated with that. I do feel very awkward when you stand next to me. Why don't you grab Emily's mic? Yeah. And have a seat. And so we're doing this interview style, so I'll ask him some questions, and he'll answer because he is a very intelligent man. Left all your notes. Great. Okay, well, they'll be very short, spiffy answers. Okay, why don't you have a seat? So this is Obed. Give him a hand. Obed Acevedo. So Obed, why don't you share with us a little bit about yourself?
I'm cool. Very cool. Raise your hand if you don't know me.
Let's just assume nobody knows
people.
You.
I've been coming to this church for about 5 years. Okay. Me and my family have been pretty active. Worship team, up with Roots. My wife is Emily Acevedo. She was singing up here this morning.
Better part. That's always a good thing. You mentioned Emily, the better part of you. Both equally awesome. Go ahead.
Anyways, we've been coming to this church, and we love the people here and the ministry here and the focus on God's word. So
good.
That's just me. I'm a firefighter and a paramedic.
Okay, good. Yeah.
That's it.
He works a lot of hours.
I do. I work a lot.
He also serves this church as a EIT, yeah, an elder in training. I was trying to think of the acronym, yes, an EAT. So an elder in training, and so we think very highly of Obed, and so we really wanted the church to hear from him. And so I gave you a list of the names or titles of Jesus, as I did all four of the people we'll be hearing from, and you picked out your favorite of the list, and you picked out the way, the truth, and the life as your favorite designation for Jesus. Why?
Well, I wouldn't say it's my favorite necessarily. It's just when I read that list.
Would you like to pick another one? Or?
No.
Okay.
And we can change it completely. Okay. I think the names of Jesus, there's a long list of them. And I think at different times in your life, whatever your need is, certain names stand out to you. When I read that list, that's the one that really stood out to me. And the reason is because it's a very all-encompassing name of who Jesus is and why we need him and how he is everything we need.
Okay. So this designation comes from the scripture, John 14:6. If you remember the context, Jesus is telling the disciples that he's about to leave the planet and he's going to go. And if you remember, Thomas is saying to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going to go, so how can we follow you? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So in this context, why does Jesus declare himself to be the way? And how is he the way?
He is the only means by which we can get to the Father, the only means by which we can have peace again with God. And he did that by sacrificing his life for us and raising, and when God raised him again from the dead, not only conquering sin, but also death. So everything that stops us from getting to God, he eliminated that and provided through himself a path to get back to God. And that is how he is the way.
So there's no other way of getting to God?
Absolutely not.
Could there be some other... What if there's somebody in, like, another country that is, like, calling somebody, I don't know, like, Buddha or
no.
or some other name, and maybe that's just the name that they know, but they're really thinking it's Jesus, and they just don't know any better.
Well, I believe God sees our human heart, and he doesn't limit us by our circumstances. I think if in a situation where, given the information about Jesus, somebody would accept him, God is able to foresee that. And, you know, that's a different subject. But Jesus is the only sacrifice, the only means by which we can come to God. There's no other religion, any other creed, or any other path. There's no other roundabout way. There's no shortcut. There's no long way. Jesus is the only way.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Yeah, so that's why he says he's the narrow gate, and that there's the broad way to destruction, but the narrow way to everlasting life. So he's the gate. He's the way. He's the only way.
Only way.
Only way. Okay, good. So he also says that he's the truth. So what's the common understanding of truth? And so that's the first part of the question. What's the common understanding of truth when we hear truth? So if somebody says, you've got good hair, and then Dana says, that's the truth. So what's that common understanding? And then why does Jesus call himself the truth or the truth?
There's many, you know, Dana can say that's true. You
may
disagree. So is it true? Or, you know, there's a disagreement there.
Okay.
Your hair's great too.
Yeah.
you know, God, people have all kinds of ideas of what is truth. You know, oh, this is right, this is wrong, this is truth, this is false. But there's only one place where we can go that is concrete, absolute truth that doesn't ever change, hasn't ever changed, and it's Jesus. It is God and his word. It's the one place that we can go that we can compare everything everybody says and prove it with the fire of God's word and test it to see if it's actual gold, if it's truth or not, because we have the truth in God's word.
Yeah, good answer. So truth can be tried to see if it's true or not, or if it's accurate enough.
So the reason why Jesus says he is the truth is because he is the truth that proves every other truth, whether it's false or not. He is the absolute truth. Whether we like it or not, okay. He is the truth.
So by saying he's the truth, he's embodying
truth. He created truth.
He created truth.
Okay. He created it, and he is it.
Okay. So similar to God saying he is love, he embodies love. So Jesus saying he is truth, he embodies truth.
Yes.
Okay. Good. So I want to bring up the actual Greek word for truth is aletheia, and it's synonymous for reality as the opposite of illusion, the manifested, the essence of matter. So with that in mind, what is Jesus saying when he calls himself the truth?
So I do remember this one verse that I wrote down. This is Colossians 1:16. It says, "For through him being Jesus, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him." So, as we know, Jesus is God. He is one of the Trinity. And so everything was created for him. Like it says here, everything was created through him, through his power, and for him, to serve him, to express who he is, to demonstrate his power. And it was also created by him, because God created it for him and through him, and it was also by him.
Right.
So he created everything that we can come up with that is reality. He created it first. So he even created ourselves. So anything that we come up with, what is true, it comes from what he made. So whether we're right or wrong, it doesn't change what he created. He created reality. He created everything that we are, everything that is. So we can come up with different realities of what we think. Oh, we think this is this way. Heaven is real. Hell is not. We can create all kinds of realities. But the truth is that he created everything for him, by him, and through him. And so if we want to know what really is real, instead of speculating and thinking this or thinking that, just go to God's word, because that's what's real.
Yeah, good. So truth isn't just the opposite of false. It's reality.
Correct.
It's not just fantasy reality. Fantasy reality, true, false. It's the manifested.
The manifested God.
Absolutely. Agreed. Makes me think of John 1:14. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." So he manifested himself among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten God, and the full of grace and mercy. And so he manifested himself among us. I also think of in Matthew chapter 11, which we just went through a series in Matthew, which we still need to complete later on in 2020. But in Matthew chapter 11, if you remember, when John the Baptist is in prison and he sends his disciples to Jesus asking, "Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Or should we expect another one?" Do you remember what Jesus returns with the answer? The answer wasn't, "Yep, I'm the Messiah." He says, "Go back and tell him what you hear and what you see, that the blind can see, the deaf can hear, people are healed, the dead are raised, and the gospel is being preached to the poor." So the gospel, the life of God is being manifested. The truth is being in reality. The the truth is being manifested. So I am the truth. So instead of go back and say, yep, I'm the Messiah, go back and tell him I'm the truth, that it's for real. It's manifested. So, yeah. So it's a mouthful when he's saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's more than saying, I'm not false. It's, I'm the real deal, Holyfield. Yeah, that's good. So he also says he's the life. So what does he mean by that?
Well, he's the one who brings us from death to life, for one. He's also the one who shows us how to live our life. He demonstrated it when he was here, and he also demonstrates it in his word. So he is the truth that shows us which way to go, and he teaches us how to live our life as we're going through that way, which is all Jesus. That's why it's like each one of those attributes like speaks to the next and back and forth. Like they're all, it's one big circle. And he's the one who brings life to everything. Mm-hmm. He's the one who, when we allowed sin to enter into this world, he's the one who put his life on the line to die and then to come back to life and to give us life. He's the one who breathes life into us when we were first created. He's the one who breathes life into our souls when we give our hearts to him.
That's good. So as a paramedic, what's the fine line between life and death? I mean, that you come across as a paramedic? Like, so when you go on the scene and you have a life and death situation, what is that fine line between life and death, physically speaking? Yeah, like when your heart stops. I mean, and like you're able, obviously, breath makes you alive.
You can hold your breath.
Okay, so what makes you alive? What makes you dead then?
When we can't bring you back anymore.
Okay.
And there's nothing in you that is viable.
Okay, so your heart stops then.
Your heart, well, we can still bring you back.
You can still bring you back?
Oh, yeah, I've done it many times.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So when you say, like, if anybody's brought anybody from back to the dead, that's why I've raised my hand, because I've done it.
Right. Okay. Okay. I gotcha. Okay, so with that perspective.
So, okay, this is how forgive me if this is too morbid, but what we say when somebody.
We're here for this, right?
What we say when somebody's too far gone is they're dead. You know, because dead, we can still bring that back, but dead is gone. You know what I mean?
No. What's the difference between dead and dead?
When you're dead, I'm not going to do anything. You're done. You're going to go see Jesus.
Yeah. No, I understand that. But what is the difference between dead and dead for the uninformed? How do you know just that you can't bring them back?
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So if there's obvious signs of like that person's obviously not coming back, or they've been dead for too long, that there's nothing I can medically do to bring them back.
Okay.
But if they died like 10 minutes ago, I might be able to bring you back.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
But Jesus can bring them back 4 days later.
Yes, he can.
And you can't.
I can't, no.
Okay.
I'm not Jesus.
All right, we've established that. Okay. That's one for Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good stuff. Yeah. Jesus is life. All right. Okay. So John 10:10, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So here, Jesus contrasts himself to Satan. How does that give us a better understanding of the life that he offers by contrasting himself to what Satan comes to do?
Well, Satan lies and takes.
Right.
Jesus gives us truth and he gives. For one, the devil's never given of himself anything for us. He just takes and drains and lies and puts people against each other. It confuses everything. It puts you having to fight against everything and leaves you lost and confused versus Jesus. He doesn't leave you alone. He gets in that yoke with you. You do have to pick up your cross and follow him.
Mm-hmm.
There is a yoke, so there is work, but he's there with you. You do have to put your effort. It's not like Jesus pulls all the weight, but he's with you. And he gives you life. He doesn't kill. He doesn't steal. He gives you out of his life, out of his grace. He gives us his word. He gives us a family in church. And he gives us, when we're faced in life with difficult situations, he doesn't just leave you with the situation. He always has an outcome. Even if, you know, some situations are just, there's no way of painting a good picture about it. But God can carry you through that and help you grow through that. And at the end, you will look back and see how God was with you throughout the entire process and how now you're better equipped to help other people and how you're closer to God and understand things about God that you never would have without that difficult situation. And difficult situations also take away, if we allow God to work in us, it takes ugly things away from us. It takes carnal things from us. And it makes us more spiritual, whereas the devil, if you go through a hard situation, continues to add carnal things and take spiritual things away from you and make you more blind and make you more dependent on other things like drugs or addictions or just bad habits and bad relationships. You cope with wrong things that hurt you, hurt others, and then it just creates a snowball effect of bad things versus Christ creates a snowball effect of good things.
That's good. I like what you said, that Jesus gives life from him. He gives the life that he has, and like in John where he breathed the Holy Spirit into them.
Mm-hmm.
I take that as how he says that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Because he is an infinite flow of life, infinite flow of grace. So when he always has more to give to us from himself, whereas the devil is just taking away and tripping you and making everything miserable, all the while thinking that you're in control, making you think that you're in control. Until you're completely out of control, right. Then he laughs at you.
That Satan does, yeah, as a manipulator. That's good. So, Obed, how has Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, demonstrated himself in those three ways in your own life? Can you share an anecdote, an example with us?
Well, I think at least one way I can put it is the way that my parents raised me, very ingrained in God's word. You know, as we go back to John chapter 1, where it says, you know, he's the word. So the more you know the word, the more you know him. And if you allow the word to take root in your heart, it's like allowing Jesus to take root into your heart. And so it affects everything you do. It affects your decisions. It affects how you carry yourself. So I had I was fortunate that my parents raised me that way. And by having God's word ingrained and read to me and read it every day and just being basically drenched in it growing up, made it to where when I went into adulthood, when I was released into the world or whatever, to the wild, however you want to say it.
Into the wild.
I had so many situations where I was faced on a crossroad with a decision, and I had so many references in God's word as to how I was certain that this was the correct way, and so many things that I avoided, so many difficult and hard things that I've avoided because of God's word so richly ingrained into my heart. So I would just encourage everybody, just never give up on reading God's word. I know sometimes it gets dry because that's, you know, we're human and we don't like discipline, but never tire. Make yourself get up early, read God's word, even if it's just a short piece, and just savor on that for the rest of the day and talk to God about it and ask God what he wants you to learn from that. Because God's word is so rich that one verse can feed you for a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and
no, I agree
and it'll
completely.
Come back to you. So never, oh, don't put it off because, oh, I need to read three chapters. No, just every day, little bits here and there. If I get it, I'm super busy. I've got kids, I've got three jobs, and I serve here, you know.
Just three jobs?
Yeah.
Slacker?
Well, if you count this one, it's four.
Four, okay. That's better.
And God is gracious. God knows that we're busy. and he's not going to fault you and guilt you because you're busy and you have to raise your family and your kids. He just wants you to walk with him. He wants you to put on that yoke and do your work with him and include him and allow him to be Lord of your life and allow him to influence your surroundings and the people around you and allow you to be a blessing and a light wherever you go.
Man, that's excellent. That's excellent. You kind of already answered my last question, but in case you wanted to add anything else to it, how can we all better align ourselves with Jesus in this way as the way, the truth, and the life? Do you feel like you've already answered that?
God's word, prayer, and, you know, these are times where people are questioning absolutely everything. It is paramount for us Christians to be a well-ingrained and have the answers to the questions people have. We don't have or ever will have all the answers, but if we have a heart that follows God and if we have a life that reflects God's grace and love and we are humble enough to say, well, I don't know the answer to that question, but I know the truth of this thing that points me in the right direction, and even though it's unpopular or whatever, you know, it's important for us to be well ingrained in God's word and falling closely with the Spirit.
Absolutely.
Because that is the what the world's looking for is truth, and we have it.
Yes, sir. We sure do. Could I have the worship team come back up? Would you mind closing this section in a prayer as they're coming up? Okay.
Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for being everything that we need.
Yes.
We thank you for providing for us in your word, through your Spirit, God, and through the people that you surround us with in your church, in your body. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek after you every day and to help each other, Lord, to be equipped with your word and with your grace and your love, Lord, that we would be able to reach the people around us, that we would spread like wildfire, and that your word would be, that Jesus would be proclaimed throughout
yes,
the world.
Lord, thank
Jesus'
you, Jesus.
Name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.